John chapter 11. We've been studying the book of John on Wednesday nights. We're up to chapter 9. I'm a little ahead of myself this morning. I'm talking about joying in Jesus on Wednesday nights and want to encourage you to come and rejoice in the Lord. It's been wonderful, maybe not for you, but for me studying it, just to see our wonderful Savior and so many different stories. So come out on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, not because of the contest, but because of the Lord. We're going to see some great things about the Lord and some other characters in this story. This is the story about a family that Jesus really loved. There was two girls and a boy in this family. One was named Martha, one was named Mary, and their brother named Lazarus. Lazarus died, been dead for 4 days, and they had already put his body in a tomb that is in a cave, and rolled a stone in front of the cave. And my text to begin the sermon is the statement Jesus makes in verse 39, "Take ye away the stone." Take ye away the stone. If there is a subtitle for my sermon this morning, it would be this: obey, then pray your way to miracles. Obey, then pray your way to miracles. Perhaps you're here today and you say, "God doesn't answer my prayers." Well, maybe there's a message for you here in the sermon this morning that'll help unlock the truth to getting miracles in your life, to getting needs met, to having provision, to seeing your relationship with God be one that's real, where you have testimonies. By obeying, then praying your way to miracles. Lazarus is dead in this portion of Scripture. Look at verse 14. "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." We're going to try to spiritualize this story today and see some symbolism in it to help us. Lazarus is dead. He needs to be raised from the dead. There is a need here that needs to be met. It is a need that is so great that unless God does it, it's not going to happen. And this story teaches us how we can have revivals, how we can have miracles, how we can have needs met. And we're introduced to some of the characters in the miracles, and there's so much symbolism in this of how things actually work in your life too that I don't have time to get through it all. I'll just talk fast and I hope you'll get it. But I want to focus first of all on Martha, and I want you to notice Martha's complaint. Now Martha is Lazarus's sister. And notice first of all her complaint in verse number 21. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Notice her complaint here. If you'd have been here, if you read earlier in the story, she's basically saying here, "We sent for you and you didn't come. Our brother was sick. We've seen you do miracles. We've seen you heal the sick. We've seen you open the eyes of the blind. And our brother Lazarus, who you claimed to love, was sick, and we sent for you and you didn't come." In fact, Jesus didn't come on purpose. It says in verse 6, "When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Now, Jesus had a special love for this family. In verse 3, it says, "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." There was a special love Jesus had for Lazarus. And I submit to you, and I believe this, that God loves the whole world. For God so loved the world. But there's a special love that a human being can earn from the Lord by walking worthy. John was that disciple whom Jesus loved because he walked worthy of a special love. In verse 5 it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." He had a special love for this family. Verse 36, "Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him." I hope you have a family that just doesn't know the general love of God where he loves the whole world. But I hope you've walked so worthy that he has just given you a special love. He whom thou lovest. But notice her complaint. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. There's some people who are always complaining to God, thinking that he had done something wrong. But then notice also Martha's confidence. The Bible is such a wonderful book in its description of people that it tells us both negative things and positive things about people. That's kind of contrary to we as humans. When we dislike somebody, we make sure we just talk about the negative things about that person. But God is not so. God is able to see both good things and bad things in people, and he expounds them not only in the Word of God, but he will expound them at the judgment someday. Both good things and bad things about us. We see her confidence beginning in verse 22. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Amen. What confidence she had in the Lord. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And notice again her confidence in the things that Jesus had taught previously. She says in verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then notice, third of all, Martha's confession. And this is one of the greatest confessions of faith in all the Bible. It's so simple, and yet it's profound. Have you ever made a confession of faith in Jesus Christ like this woman? Jesus says to her, beginning at verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then Jesus presses her for a decision. Believest thou this? And I believe Jesus is pressing every one of us this morning for a decision. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead in his trespasses and sins, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He has eternal life and eternal security. Do you believe this? And notice the profound simplicity of her confession. In verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. It's simple to be saved. In fact, it's so simple, people in their complex minds sometimes never grasp it. It's just simply hearing the gospel, hearing Christ present himself as Lord, as sacrifice, as Savior, and us just saying to Jesus, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's another character, and she's probably one of the greatest ladies in New Testament Christianity. Her name is Mary. Martha is good, but Mary is better. Notice a couple things here about Mary. Notice her waiting. Back in verse 20, it says, and Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Notice her waiting. She sat still in the house. Verse 29, and it says, verse 28, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Notice this great faith of Mary, how she had the faith to wait on God, a faith that very few people have. The Bible says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And patience is enduring faith. It's the ability just to believe in God and to wait 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 until the Lord says something. And there she just sat still in the house. While Martha was out complaining, she just sat still and said, I'm just going to wait for Jesus to say something. I don't understand this. I don't understand why my brother has died. He was sick and we thought the Lord would come, but I'm not going to go out and complain. I'm just going to sit still. That's the inner calmness The Bible says, "And a woman to have a meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price." When a woman can have that inner calmness just to depend on the Lord and wait until He says. We see her quietness, her patience, her faith. We see Mary's waiting and then Mary's worship. She comes quickly when He calls in verse 29. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met Him. The Jews then which were with her, Mary, in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, "Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." She says the exact same words that Martha had said in verse 21, but Martha's was a complaint, Mary's was a worship. She fell down at His feet saying, "Lord, if Thou hadst been here," she acknowledged, "Lord, if You'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. My brother had not died." She worships the Lord. And then notice, third of all, her weeping. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Notice the effect Mary had on Jesus that Martha did not have. It says He groaned in the spirit when He saw her weeping. And the Jews also weeping which came with her. And He groaned in spirit and He was troubled. And it was Martha's waiting. It was Martha's worship. It was Martha's weeping that moved Christ. Mary's waiting and worship and weeping that moved Christ, not Martha's complaining. Martha's complaining made Jesus say, "Well, maybe she's not saved. Believest thou this, Martha?" He started with the gospel with her. But with Mary, He says, "Where have you laid Him?" He sees the need. And He goes about to meet the need. We're talking today about obeying and then praying our way to miracles and to getting our needs met. So the Jews, or Jesus, sees Mary weeping. The Jews are weeping. And now in verse 35, Jesus wept. We're not going to raise the dead with dry eyes. We're not going to see souls saved in our family with dry eyes. "He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Mary's tears move God on her behalf. There's no revival that's ever come with dry eyes. Lazarus is dead and buried and stinking. There's many other individuals. Oh, they're alive physically, but spiritually in sin, they're dead. They're nigh well buried. Their lives are stinking. Savers, they're not the glory of the image of God like they were created, but as sinners, they're lost. They're dead. You know, there's a lot of churches that are dead and buried and stinking inside too. Just like the inside of this cave, the inside of this tomb. We ought to humbly examine our church. And say, is our church dead? Is our church entombed? Is our church rotting? Is our church lifeless? Is our church bound? Is our church hopeless? Is our church sealed away and unseen? Is our church in need of revival? Maybe we ought to weep for our church. Sometimes we get pride about our church, and pride does not allow us to see our church the way the Lord really sees it. Such a church existed once in Revelation chapter number 3. In verse number 1, it said about the church at Sardis, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." There's a lot of churches that have a name that they're alive, but they're dead. humanly speaking, you look at the church and say, wow, that church is really, really alive. That's just one of my pet peeves today, is all these churches that are using rock and roll music and sports and entertainment and so on and so forth to get a crowd inside of their building. And all kinds of emotional worship songs, so to speak. And music and worship, by the way, are never mentioned in the same breath in the Scriptures. Music has nothing to do with worship. This is worship. Mary falling on her face before Jesus Christ. Worship is adoration of the Savior. Worship is obedience of the Savior. Worship is sitting still in the house till Jesus calls you. And not doing anything till He says something and then immediately obeying. We're talking today about obeying and then praying your way to miracles. And there's so many people piling into these churches, sometimes by the hundreds, sometimes by the thousands, and their emotions are whipped up at these rock concerts, at these Darien Lake festivals and Kingdom Bound festivals, I don't know hardly any medium in all the world that can so powerfully affect the emotions of a human being as music. And then they leave there and say, boy, the Holy Spirit was there today, when the fact is the Holy Spirit was nowhere near the place that day. They just had a deep emotional experience. We'd be better off with musicless lives and knowing the Holy Ghost than to be deceived like so many hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands of believers with their so-called Christian radio stations on in their cars day after day and listening to CDs and so on. Where is the emphasis on music in the Bible? Where is it? It's not there. It's a substitute for Holy Spirit power. We're confusing the human spirit with the Holy Spirit. People piling in churches like that. No, this is worship right here. Worship is obedience to the Lord, a life of obedience. And I want you to notice that Mary waits and Mary worships and Mary weeps. And her weeping affects the Jews. The Jews weep. Her weeping affects Jesus. In the shortest verse of the Bible, it says in verse 35, Jesus wept. And we're about ready to see a miracle, but there's an obstacle in the way. And a clear commandment is given. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave in verse 38. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Notice a clear commandment is given before a need can be met, before a revival can take place, before a resurrection can take place, before a need can be met. A clear commandment is given by the Lord that must be obeyed. Take ye away the stone. Now, whenever the Lord gives a commandment, there's going to be a complainer and a confronter to try to get you to disobey the commandment and thus never see your need met, and never see your miracle met. We see the complainers in verse 38:7. Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? It's always a complainer. Why did God let this happen? Why did God do this? Where was God when we needed Him? Brethren, every time God's about ready to do a miracle, there's going to be some complainer around to try to throw cold water all over you and all over what you think about God. I am not going to let any human being distort my view of God. I get people all the time to try to convince me God made some mistake in their life or God did something wrong. Well, I serve you no publicly today. I'm on God's side. And I'm not going to side with you. God has never made a mistake and never will make a mistake. But there's always some complainer. And then there's always some confronter. No sooner does He give the clear commandment, take ye away the stone. But here comes Martha. We saw her earlier as a complainer, and we saw her confidence, we saw her confession, but now we see her confrontation. You see, there's sometimes where it's going to be believers believers, brethren, but the Lord's going to tell you to do something, and as soon as he does, a believer's going to come up and say, that won't work. Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Martha is trying to stop this miracle from happening. What do you mean, take away the stone? My brother's been in there for 4 days. He stinks. She doesn't even know it, but even though she's a believer in Christ, she is an obstacle to a miracle happening. Watch out what people tell you. Even believers, even people in church. If the Lord tells you to do a certain thing, do that thing. And if some believer comes up to you and says, that won't work, go around them. Take ye away the stone. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? In other words, he's mildly admonishing her, where is your faith? I told you this was for the glory of God way back in verse 4. Where is your faith? Brethren, watch out for confronters. Watch out for those that say that they'll never work. You must obey. And then pray to see your needs met, to see miracles done. I can remember when Leslie and I were first married, I just said to her, you're staying home. You're not working in the workforce. You're going to be a stay-at-home mother. I didn't say, Leslie, what do you think? I didn't say that. I said, this is what the Bible says. But I had a lot of other people confront me. Like Martha confronts this miracle. You can't make it on one income in this world. Oh, yeah? Depends on what you define make it as. We did. But we have to obey first the clear teaching of God's word in that matter. So we made it. See, the miracle, and I could give you story after story of miracles of provision, the miracle would not have happened if we hadn't obeyed first. Obey, then pray, then the miracle takes place. And so we see the obedience here. Then they took away the stone. Thank God for they, the good ones, the obedient ones. He says in verse 39, take ye away the stone. Then they took away the stone. I don't know who they were. But there are a bunch of them there that day. Thank God for them. Amen? Thank God for those that say, well, we don't care about what this lady says. All we care about what Jesus says. So help me out, man. Get behind this stone. Let's roll it out. We don't care about these over here complainers who said God was wrong to let Lazarus die. God made a mistake. Get behind the stone, man. Let's roll this thing out of the way. That's what Jesus said. Doesn't make sense to me either, but that's what Jesus said. Doesn't make sense sometimes to keep your wife at home these days either. But that's what Jesus said. Keep her at home. And I know there's exceptions when a man's disabled and things like that. I've been through that a dozen times. I remember coming across tithing and giving in the Bible. And struggling with it, to be honest with you, for a long time. In fact, I just flat out disobeyed. But you know, if you don't obey, you can't pray. Now you can pray and maybe a merciful God will help you just out of his mercy. But you're setting yourself up on blessing ground when you obey first. Now keep your place here and turn back to 1 John chapter 3 for a moment. 1 John chapter number 3. I want you to notice verse 22. It says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Period. Is that what it says? Well, amen. Thank you. It's as quiet in here as it was on a turkey farm the day before Thanksgiving. It doesn't end there, does it? It's a conditional promise. It's a conditional promise. You see that? It says, and whatsoever we ask, that's prayer, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments. What's a word, one-word synonym for keeping his commandments? Obey. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See, we obey. Whatever we ask of him, we receive because we keep his commandments. Take ye away the stone. What if they were there that day and they said, you know, we think Martha's right and not Jesus. It is going to stink. And these complainers here who said that God's wrong and Jesus was wrong and it's his fault that Lazarus died. And, you know, they're right. So let's just leave, guys. What do you think would have happened? No miracle that day. How many things have we not seen in our lives? Because we didn't obey a clear command of God. And sometimes his commands make no sense. Tithing and giving, explain that. My rationale at the time was, dear God, I need more money. I don't want to give it away. I need more. I can't meet my bills. Don't you understand? But God said, no, you give me the first tenth and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to meet your needs. Can I show you, turn to Luke 16. I'll tell you a verse literally, I took literally, that gave us this building. From the time the church was started to the time we moved into this building was 6 years. I want to encourage you to try that sometime. Start a church somewhere out of nothing. Have a couple people together, Bible study, and then 6 years later move into a building that's assessed at about $300,000 and have it paid for in cash. Do that in 6 years. Just try it. But some of you remember, maybe Kathy Peterson remembers. Maybe Jim Evans, I don't know if you remember this. I don't know. Maybe not. But when we started the Faith Bible Baptist Church, after 3 months, we moved into a storefront building down on Main Street in Angola. I put a little plywood thing up in the back. And it had a thermometer to try to raise money to buy a building. And this verse is what I put at the top. Luke 16 and verse 12. Some of you, I don't know if you remember that or not. But I put these words down. It says this, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And I said to our church, when we moved into that storefront, I said, we need to make this look be the nicest storefront it could possibly be. We need to make our landlord as happy as we can, and we put up new drywall, we put up new ceilings, we put up new floors, we put up new floorboards, we remodeled the bathrooms, we put up new lighting, we painted it inside and out, we kept it, when we left, it just was a complete overhaul. Then we went to the Farnham School building, 21,000 square foot building in there that had been vacant, and we took care of that, we hired people to take care of that building. We maintained the outside. We never had to pay a penny in rent up there. But we mopped the floors. We washed the windows. We kept the grass clean and everything because I kept in front of the church this verse right here. I said, if we're ever going to have our own, we have got to obey our Lord. Obey. If therefore you have not been faithful, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And it is based on that verse of Scripture that we're in this building today. I said, if we'll obey that, God will give us our own church building someday. You obey, and then pray, and then the needs met. Now back to our story. We've got to wrap this up for baptism today. First you obey. Take ye away the stone. And they obeyed in verse 41. They took away the stone. And then you pray, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, here's the prayer. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You must obey first and then pray. And then the need is met. When the obstacle is removed. When you have been obedient, you place yourself on blessing ground. Sometimes there's needs that are too great. And the Lord says, this kind goeth not forth, but by prayer and fasting. So you obey and you go without food. And then you pray and that need is met. Everything works this way. You want your loved one to get saved. You have to obey. You have to share the gospel with them. Go, ye therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel. And then as you obey and go and pray, then the person's saved. But there's too many people who are not obeying. They're not living lives of obedience, and they're sitting around praying. They say, God never answers my prayer. They're frustrated. They think the fault is with God. They hear people at church give testimonies about answered prayer, and they're puzzled. But it is a life of obedience. You say, oh God, give me wisdom. Oh God, give me wisdom. Oh God, give me wisdom. Forget about praying. Obey and get in the Bible and get wisdom. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all that getting, get understanding. We've got to go to the book of wisdom. You can pray for wisdom all you want, but if you don't know a lick of the Bible, you're not going to get wisdom. Obey the Bible. When the Lord commands us, be a Bible student. You say, okay, I'm going to obey. And then after you obey, then when you pray for wisdom, all of a sudden, a verse comes into your mind. Thank God you studied. Well, that's it. That's what I need right now in my life. This is it, chapter and verse. Order my steps in your word. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. We must obey. Some of you need to get on the path of obedience. Obedience. Take ye away the stone. You got to quit listening to people say, that won't work. There's always going to be a Martha in your life that's going to say, that won't work. And it's often the closest person to you. Maybe your husband, maybe your wife, fellow church member. That won't work. How's that going to work? He's probably got maggots all over him. Obey. And then pray. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him. Let him go. I got a feeling people are fainting. I like to imagine things. Sometimes I'm probably wrong. I like to think people are running around screaming. You know, Halloween when you get scared. Some mummy comes at you. Oh, I wish I could. I don't know if we're going to be able to replay these things in heaven. I hope so. This is great stuff here. It probably quieted Martha down for a while. And some of these complainers and confronters. And you know, that's what God will do with your life. The unbelievers, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let me close by reading a verse to you. Hebrews 10:36 says this, for you have need of patience that, listen, after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So you got to do something before you receive the promise. You check out almost every miracle in the Bible, and the Lord told someone to do something. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Make the men sit down in companies of 50s and 100s. And he fed 5,000. Go ye borrow vessels, not a few. And the lady went out and got a bunch of clay pots, and the Lord filled them all. Bring him to me. Go show yourselves to the priests and offer the sacrifice that God has asked you. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Almost any time a miracle is done for a person, it is preceded by a test from God whether they'll obey. Even sometimes very strange statements. Obedience. Obey. Then pray. Then Jesus prayed. Jesus said, hey, I got some people obeying me. They rolled back the stone. Father, glorify yourself through this. Lazarus, come forth. And he comes. Loose them and let them go. Let's bow for prayer. Those being baptized can be dismissed. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's apply the sermon now. Have you